broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for November the 11th, in the year of our Lord, 2001. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. A quick recap of yesterday's show starts now. We had our guest on, Larry Pratt, a discussion of all things liberty. We talked about Joe Biden's new budget proposal. They call it the Build Back Better Act. It contains gun control in it, ladies and gentlemen. Did you know that? Where are the Republicans telling you all about it, huh? I had to go to gunowners.org to know more about it. Look out, ladies and gentlemen. It's disaster if you care about the Second Amendment. Biden's ATF, that's the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, nicknamed the ATF. Joe Biden's current ATF is collecting tens of millions of records on gun owners. The internal ATF document was initially obtained by Gun Owners of America. That's a Second Amendment advocacy group if you're not a member or part of Gun Owners. And the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, is they're collecting these millions and millions of records. But just so you know, the federal government is prohibited by law from establishing a database of gun owners in the United States. So it's criminal what they're doing, ladies and gentlemen. It's against the law for them to collect data or records on gun owners in the United States of America. But understand, Joe Biden doesn't care about the law. He's the guy that when the COVID vaccine stay happened by the courts, simply said, move forward, ignore the courts. Well, they're moving forward and ignoring the law when gathering these records on the American people. So they say, but a federal registry of gun transactions from old gun stores amounts to a collection of information on tens of millions of gun owners. So here's what's happening. They've got kind of a loophole in this thing as they play games with the law. They say all businesses eventually cease operation eventually. And it's possible that the ATF program will expand for the feds to collect information on most, if not all, American gun owners. So they're basically right now saying, hey, when a business, a gun business, goes out of business, then we'll just go ahead and get those records. Ladies and gentlemen, it's dishonest. It's against the law. People need to go to jail, but nothing's happening. No one's even speaking out about it, hardly at all, except for gunowners.org and a few groups. But for the most part, you don't even hear about this, do you? Where are your Republican leadership? These folks that want you to vote for them in 22, where are they now? All right, they say the rate of new COVID-19 cases in California is skyrocketing. It's now more than twice the rate of that in Florida, now prompting questions from Californians about the payoff of, quote, health measures such as mandated masks and vaccinations. So they mocked Ron DeSantis when his numbers were going up. Now it turns out that California has twice the rate of Florida. California's going up, Florida doing much better as the numbers go down. Now what do you say? Gavin Newsom was missing for like 12 days. Many are saying, hey, he got a booster Coco shot and it didn't turn out well. He had a serious adverse reaction. Two sources documented that reality, but the governor in his governor's office denying that. We'll talk about that later, but that brings up serious concerns indeed, ladies and gentlemen. We also talked about a poll. Most Utahns would not change the name of Dixie State University. That's interesting. But yet they change it anyway, and they say the new name Utah Tech University got unanimous support. How do you get unanimous support if most Americans wouldn't change it? I don't know, but that's how they lie in America, huh? Question for you, ladies and gentlemen. Are you okay with the IRS monitoring your bank account? National Taxpayers Union saying we better push back and stop them. Most people believe we've already stopped the IRS from this shenanigan, but no. It's rearing its ugly head again. And NTU, Pete Sepp and crew warning you about this, saying, hey, it's not over yet. We better be vigilant to stop them or we're in trouble. White House to employers, quote, ignore court order and proceed with vaccine mandate. Yeah, the Biden administration insists that it must, quote, protect workers who face grave danger, writes Art Moore in WND.com. So you got the government literally telling you ignore the courts. But then whenever we say ignore the courts and nullify, they say, how dare you pick and choose the laws that you're going to support, right? Wow. A federal appeals court, by the way, has ordered a halt to President Biden's vaccine mandate on larger private businesses, but the White House is telling businesses to move ahead with the plan anyway. Yeah, that's how it is. That was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live, baby. That was yesterday. Still available at lovingliberty.net. Spread the word. LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate and download today, would you please? Second hour, Virginia mother. Her name is Stacey Langton. Who exposed, I should say, pornographic reading material. Well, I guess she's barred from the library. Yeah, they said she can't go to the library. Parents aren't allowed at the library at the government schools anymore, ladies and gentlemen. They might find out what the students are reading and have access to, huh? Anyway, there you have that. So they literally are attacking her. She says, I want to see your policy. They send it over and it says nothing of the sort. She brings that up to them and they say, oh, yes, it does. It says that. Well, it all depends on what you read, I guess, right? The battle's on for Americans. The battle's on for parents. Next headline, Fairfax County asks 12-year-old school children about their sex lives. Yeah, they're asking about their sex acts, their sexual orientation. Yeah. They're asking students whether they identify as transgender. What kind of sex acts do they like? When do they first engage in them? All kinds of perverted stuff. But ladies and gentlemen, what do you expect from the government school? The compulsory education system. That's the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto. Why is it live and well in America in the first place? And why do parents defend it as they do? They're mad that the government schools are teaching communism and perversion. But that's what the whole thing is designed to do, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you get it? When will you completely wake up? You're half awake now going, this is wrong. I'm glad your moral sensibilities are violated, but you're not ready to go to the next level, which is get your kids out of the government cesspool in the first place. How long do you think they'll teach your kids perversion if your kids aren't there? The answer is they will not. How long do you think the government schools would last if Americans would yank their kids out in droves saying, not to my kid, not happening in my watch, not happening at my home? Not happening to my children. See, the government schools would shut down tomorrow. But as long as the parents just complain and rage, they'll just be in war with government schools. They'll be in war with the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto compulsory education system, but there'll never be any real answers. You could defang them tomorrow if you took your kids out. But see, parents aren't serious enough, and the government school knows it. All right, the FBI raided the home of Project Veritas founder James O'Keefe, violating his First Amendment, ladies and gentlemen. He tells the story about it and says he was in a state of shock. A bone-chilling raid on his home happened in the morning with a battering ram. And if it could happen to him, it could happen to you, ladies and gentlemen. Beware. This is an attack on the First Amendment by the Department of Justice. O'Keefe told Fox News, no doubt about that. I'm calling upon all journalists to take a stand against this, says James O'Keefe. Amen. He's right as rain. There you have it. All right, boom. New indictment now shows that it was Hillary Clinton, not Donald Trump, who colluded with Russia. Yeah, she financed the whole thing. The dossier, if you will. The P-tape and the whole bit. So now what? Is Hillary going to have any accountability? I doubt it. She didn't have any accountability over email server scandal either. The Clintons can do whatever they want, ladies and gentlemen. They are above the law. So is Hunter Biden. So is Joe. They're all above the law, and Republicans literally wring their hands and do nothing. Did you hear me? They're all part of the deep safe swamp, or they're too scared to make a move against it, huh? That's where we really are in America today. The evidence continues to grow, ladies and gentlemen, that it was Hillary Clinton who engaged in collusion with Russia, while the Trump campaign suffered for literally 2 years, and now we find out it was Hillary because her presidential campaign was threatened by the FBI's probe of her mishandling of classified information. So there you have it, more evidence about Hillary's involvement. But, of course, there will be no accountability, I'm sure. Nobody has the guts. All right, we mock the moon landings. They say we went in 69. I don't know that I believe them. They've been trying to go back for years. Now they got to push it back once again. The moon landing could be delayed until 2025, the space agency acknowledged. Yeah, Trump wanted to go there in 2024, but now they say they just can't get it done. Are you surprised? How come we could get there by the end of the decade in 69, but we can't even get there by 2025 now? What's up with that? Liberty Roundtable Live.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Finishing up the recap of yesterday's show, there's three good news pieces we ended the hour with yesterday. First one, after camping for months, Utah family of 13 finds home thanks to a 2 News viewer. Yeah, it turns out a real estate agent found out these guys were homeless. They were camping and literally bought them a home, rented it to them while they work on getting the purchase made themselves. The reason that the family was homeless is the dad's a firefighter and, well, I don't know, by law, he's got to live in a certain jurisdiction to keep his job or a certain area. And so, anyway, it was kind of a problem. That's a great news story about people doing things for one another, being our brother's keeper, looking out for our neighbor, right? We also talked about a man who began drinking alcohol at 14, overcomes addiction after missing his dad's funeral. Now, it's not good he missed his dad's funeral, not good that he's an alcoholic, but good that he's taking action and gaining sobriety. We also talked about a scuba diver finds phone lost 2 years ago, on the bottom of the reservoir, tracks down the owner, and returns it. I don't know how good the phone would be after that amount of time, but hey, hopefully some data can be gathered there. Family photos and a whole lot more, so that's some good news. Speaking of good news, Brian Rust, RustQuentinGift.com, back with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Thank you much, Sam. Glad to be with you.
Can you handle that much good news in a day, sir?
I like the good news. It's we need more of that.
You know, it's kind of like good food. You don't eat it for a long time, and you eat it, and your body goes, whoa. It's kind of like that in our society with good news these days, isn't it?
It is.
We gotta keep working on enough good news to where you get a steady diet of it. That's what I'm talking about.
That's right.
We'll keep making an effort in that regard. By the way, where's the Honest Money Report? Where's gold sitting?
Gold sitting at 1865.
Even?
Yeah, so up about $63.
1865. Wow, that's pretty good. Silver?
2527.
2527. And what's that? How's that changed?
About $1.12 up.
All right. So that means the dollar's going down slightly?
Well, they don't want you to think that. The dollar's been going down slightly a lot over the last long
yeah,
time.
Like you mean it used to be that you could trade a fiat dollar for a silver eagle silver dollar, and they used to have parity, and now it takes, what, 35 to get one?
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of like going that. Down, you mean?
That's exactly what's happening.
Falling like a rock, ladies and gentlemen. And the hidden tax of inflation is getting out of control, Brian.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. So that's, you know, there's an evidence right there that shows the dollar where it really is. You know, it seems like I keep pulling more paper dollars out of my billfold there to pay for fuel and other things. It just, oh, you need another dollar. Oh wait, here's two more. What, you need more? I mean, yeah, it just keeps pouring in. That's where that silver dollar, it'll still buy. It has some value. You know, it should be a lot higher, but the value, you know, $35 can still get me some fuel. Or my $1 bill, can I buy even a soda for that? Maybe.
Yeah, it depends on how big a pop you want, buddy.
That's right. It's a big goal.
Yeah, you get more than a can, and it's going to cost you more than a buck.
That's right.
You know, and depending on where you go to get your can, it might cost you more than a buck even for a can these days, or a bottle.
Yes.
By the way, the big debate is about inflation right now. They're saying this. Here's a big debate. Is it transitory versus persistent, Brian? It's a massive debate that's raging on right now.
Yeah, well, there you go.
You want my take?
Let's hear it.
I'm going to argue for both sides of the debate, sir. Yes, it's transitory. Yes, it's permanent.
Yeah.
Say that? Because inflation has been permanent since they jettisoned honest money in the 60s, late 60s, early 70s, right?
Yeah.
Inflation's been going on. So that would suggest the permanency reality, right? And I think that's going to continue to permeate our reality forever as long as we're on dishonest money, ladies and gentlemen. But when we say it's transitory, what does that mean? It means it comes and goes. Well, I think it's been coming and going in the booms and bust cycles on top of the permanency as well. So inflation's a steady robbing of your wealth. But every so often, you get booms and bust cycles that add insult to injury on it. And so it's permanent and transitory. And anybody who argues different doesn't understand economics, Brian.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. Yeah, we see that. We see the effects and can go back and look at those effects on both sides of the equation. You're exactly right.
All right. Well, happy Veterans Day. That's good news, right?
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, they say Happy Veterans Day. Veterans Day originally was known as Armistice Day, and it's a federal holiday in the United States observed annually on November the 11th. That's today for honoring military veterans. And, you know, I want to honor the veterans. I'm not pro-war, so I don't want to give them a kudos like they're, you know, I don't like the idea of war heroes. But I do like the fact that people are willing to serve their country. And I, even though there, in my opinion, are a lot of unconstitutional, immoral wars, I think a lot of people go for the right reasons. They come back a lot of times disenchanted. That's sad. That's why when we call them war heroes, they're like, don't call me no hero. Because they get it once they've been there. But our prayers do go out to those who have given much for this country, Brian.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I agree. I mean, it's, you know, you know, it's just sad. I mean, a lot of these veterans over the years, you know, we're losing more and more veterans as time goes on. And I think that voice, which is so important, I think the world today, or in America today, is that they would stand up. They would stand up to a lot of this crap. I think some are really trying to do that, but we've lost a lot that perhaps would be behind the backs of those who are trying to stand up and say, you know, we've been out there, we've been fighting the fight, and for what? I saw an article that was kind of interesting. It said these soldiers were in the picture, kind of coming back, and they said, well, perhaps we should be giving these people $465,000 per individual for what they've done.
Instead of the illegal aliens, you mean?
Yeah, you think that might be good?
Well, I think this, you know, I'm not really for handouts of any kind in a general statement.
Right.
But I do agree when somebody's gone to serve their country and they lose significant help to where they can't support their family or make a living, or, in other words, somehow they have put so much on the altar for we the people and for our security and safety and everything else. I do believe that is a fair, equitable. We do need to do something about that. That's a difference. Right. That's not socialism, ladies and gentlemen. That's equity for equity, if you will, Brian.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think we're, you know, and that's the sad thing about, you know, the things that are happening, that, you know, the negative, perhaps some the negatives that we look at here in this country. I think we could, you know, we could take some of this money that we're just pouring out there and doing this and creating, you know, their agenda really should be, okay, how do we, maybe some of the homelessness that's going on, or how can we help these veterans and their family, you know, take some of that money and put it into resources to really help and improve America, instead of just pouring it out here and oh, we need that, we're going to do that, and just pouring it out here and wasteful spending and how they handle it, and all the money that goes over to other countries. Yeah, I'm not opposed to helping other countries, but I think that it's it needs to be, you know, we need to look at it. It's not like, well, hey, you help me accomplish this in my country, I'll like Biden will sign off these billions of dollars or whatever for you to do or whatever, you know. So kind of the bad getting some of the money just because it greases the palm of those, the agenda that they need to accomplish.
I do agree with some money to the veterans, because I think it's necessary. Again, when they give up so much equity in terms of their health and oftentimes their lives, we do need to some degree, make people whole for that service that has been rendered. But when it comes to foreign countries, I'm not really for giving them a lot of money. What I am for doing, though, is setting a standard around the world, setting up the light, on a shining hill. Where people can understand where freedom lies. It's in the supreme law of the land, constitutional documents. Not because the documents matter, the piece of paper doesn't matter, but the principles enshrined therein, if they're in our hearts, if they're in our understanding of checks and balances, if we insist on them by nature, and we jealously defend and guard those liberties and turn to God for guidance and direction and stability and peace and comfort, that's what we need to be teaching the world. And I think if we provided leadership in that regard, and then we used our influence of the free market in charge of the greatest economic engine the world has ever known, between those two things, I think we could truly make the biggest difference for nations around the world that want freedom and stability and safety. I don't think we need to arm everybody with military hardware. I don't think we need to run around and play the world's cop to get that done. I think we can set those two standards. Hey, here's the supreme law land. That's what we use to make our country great. You can do it too. So our greatest export should be free, and it should be the Constitution of the United States of America, and us teaching the principles that make it work, that make it tick. That, along with providing leadership in the greatest economic engine space known as the free market, that's where we ought to start. When we come back, we'll talk to Brian Rust as we continue with our Honest Money Report. RustQuinnandGift.com. I am Sam Bushman.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A federal judge on Wednesday uses the Americans with Disabilities Act to overturn Texas Governor Republican Greg Abbott's executive order banning mask mandates in Texas schools. U.S. District Court Judge Lee Yeckel barred Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton from enforcing Abbott's order. Kyle Rittenhouse testified Wednesday he was under attack when he killed two men and wounded a third with his rifle during a chaotic night of protest in Kenosha, saying, "I didn't do anything wrong. I defended myself." The judge in the case is considering a motion for a mistrial as the prosecutor has been making major mistakes in his cross-examination of Rittenhouse. NASA says the moon's surface has enough oxygen to keep billions of people alive for 100,000 years. They say there's actually plenty of oxygen on the moon. It's trapped inside layers of rock and fine dust that covers the moon's surface. We just need to learn how to harness life's precious ingredient. USA Radio News.
COVID is spiking again, and it's just not clear how to keep your family safe. Fever is the leading symptom of COVID, and the only way to reliably detect it is with an accurate thermometer. Be vigilant and be accurate with the Exergen Temporal Scanner, whose accuracy has been proven in more than 100 clinical studies. Don't rely on non-contact thermometers. They are proven to be inaccurate and will not reliably detect a fever that might mean COVID. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
At the American Veterinary Medical Association annual convention in Washington, D.C., I spoke with Dr. John Howe, AVMA president, about One Health.
One Health is really a collaboration between physicians and veterinarians or public health officials. For example, in Minnesota, our state public health veterinarian deals with zoonotic diseases, rabies, for example. Animals are sentinels for humans, and humans are sentinels for some infections in animals.
There's more valuable information at avma.org.
As inflation is slamming American wallets coast to coast, the 6.2% level reported Wednesday was the highest jump in inflation in 30 years. No one is really sure how much higher it will be to heat your home this winter, but it definitely will cost you more this year when compared to the winter months last year.
Home heating prices are set to rise by as much as 54% for some households. That's according to the annual Winter Fuel Book Outlook released earlier this month from the Energy Information Administration. President Biden is calling on the oil and gas industry to increase production to meet demand, which is welcome news to Melissa Verna, who tells ABC's Good Morning America the price hikes are certainly going to affect her and her home business.
I am nervous about my bill. I run a small business out of my house, and I also work full-time remote, so the cost of any bill going up is alarming.
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
We are USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Gentlemen, Sam Butchman, Brian Russ, RussCoinAndGift.com on your radio. We are in the middle of the Honest Money Report, as you know. Every Thursday on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, we break down the truth with Brian Rust, RussCoinAndGift.com. Honest Money Report, gold, $18.65 right now. Silver, $25.27. And it takes a whole lot more than that to get your favorite coins, though, ladies and gentlemen, because the spot price and the reality of delivery are two different things. Due to the fake money system and due to the fiat reality of paper trade on gold and silver, it's all manipulated, ladies and gentlemen. But we still wish you a happy Veterans Day. And our prayers are with those veterans and our thanks for their service. At the same time, we never want to glorify war. How do you strike that balance of being grateful for those who served and honoring them for their service? But at the same time, not making them out to be heroes. We don't like heroes, warriors. We like good, honest men who do what needs to be done as heroes. I get it. But we got to be very careful that we don't glorify war in the process. A very tough balancing act for we the people to give them support and love and gratitude for their service. At the same time, not glorify war and make the warriors out to be something more than they are. They're just men and women. Inflation, transitory versus persistent. The debate rages on. I say it's both. And there's a headline, Brian, that I wanted to bring to your attention, too. I find it comical. Here's the question. Is crypto the future of money or the biggest scam? Again, Brian, I say both. It is the biggest scam, and sadly, it's going to be the future of money, isn't it?
Yeah, they're Well, there's a number of countries now that are getting on board and trying to move their system into that crypto or blockchain type system. So I think we're seeing more of it. I think there's some. Yeah, you know, it's crypto's an interesting thing. It's hard to, it's maybe hard to grasp or hard to, because it's not really there, I guess. But a little play on words. But there again, I think, yeah, there's people that are making money. It's kind of like the stock exchange and so on. They're making money in stocks as well and so on. But realistically, I think, you know, that's an interesting bubble there, I believe. I just don't know if I can grasp it. I'm kind of a tangible guy, so I got it in my hand. I have it in my hand. I don't have it. You know, it's, you know, our government's looking at maybe going cashless. I think that's where they're pushing things, and so we want to go, you know, using cards to everything. Well, in that sense, I don't really trust, because I don't trust the government. So if they want to tap into my banking system and it's all, digital or whatever, they can, you know. If they think I'm doing something wrong, or even if I'm not doing something wrong, but they feel there is something, well, hey, we're gonna lock you down until we know. Well, that could put, you know, how the pressure on a person where now they can't function, and there's just so many scenarios that could go into play there. But yeah, it's interesting. I don't know where that blockchain or the Bitcoin or the crypto's going, but it seems
Here's where it's going. It's eventually going where governments are going to eventually slowly but surely embrace it. They've been letting them grow, knowing full well that they have control of them, knowing full well they could pull the calling card and gain control of them, knowing full they love it, though, because it moves everybody online exactly where they want us digitally in the first place. And so they're allowing this to grow, where even the Patriots are thinking, yeah, we're beating the government, not so fast. The reality is they'll just be glad to let you, in the Hegelian dialectic, think you're advocating for something great, but in reality you're creating your own demise, ladies and gentlemen. Digital currencies are the future, but they're not the answer. Okay, it'll just lead to greater trouble. Now, I had the opportunity to show my daughter a bunch of gold the other day. And she looks at it and she says, Dad, it's so pretty. You just know it's valuable, don't you? Yeah, you're getting it, sister. That's exactly right. Brian, I mean, she looked at it and she was like, you know what? It's just, you just know that it's value. Everybody wants it. You can see its value. You can hold it. You can look and you go, wow. And I go, that's right. That's part of the reason of its intrinsic reality, right, Brian?
It is. I mean, most of these palaces and these unique, you go back to these buildings and these unique, as you travel and you see some of the buildings and the kings and all these things that have created these structures, there's a lot of gold put on those buildings it looks pretty, is right. That's a good point. A lot of people wear it, don't they?
Yeah. And so I just told her, I just said, now I want you to lay out a few bills right there and look at your dollar bill and five and 10 and 20 and $100 bill. And it just is not as captivating, you know, just right. Doesn't quite get it. And then I said to her, you know, when they create those $100 bills, it only costs them 2.5 cents to create it. And then she began to riot.
Yeah.
She began to say, well, are you kidding me?
That's right. You look, actually, though, I wonder, as these countries, you know, it's kind of funny. There's a lot of countries, you know, their bills are really kind of pretty. They really kind of made some of their currency really a pretty currency. And I just wonder if the effect of it is, okay, we've devalued our currency. We've got to make new currency. So instead of going to the old green and black or whatever, let's make it some orange and reds. And then the next time they do it, well, let's add some more color and put some peacock birds and other birds and this and make it prettier again. And they keep, I guess, our eye, if we can see beauty, we forget the fact that they just devalued and devalued and devalued. Maybe that's where our country's going. We're going to come out with some orange notes or some reds and orange and purple notes, and I don't know, but as they devalue our dollar.
Yeah, they've even, in other countries too, some of their currencies are almost like a plasticky feel, so they can withstand the abuse of, I don't know what you call it, the abuse of use might be the best way to describe it, but in their countries, you know, hey, it's kind of rough, but they're kind of more of a plastic currency where it can't be ripped up or anything like that too. Kind of interesting.
Right, no, it is. Hey, again,
go ahead.
Sorry, I wanted to go jump back there on the cryptocurrency kind of thing. You know, it's amazing. Don't they have to have a lot of machinery and so on to kind of mine that and put out, you know, all the you know, the issues about maintaining this, these big, huge, massive computer systems to create these, this blockchain. And how does that affect
where are the environmentalists when you need them? They should be going berserk over that, Brian.
Right, right. That was the question I had is, okay, well, our governments are all going to get into that. Well, how does that make it everything green?
I mean, they should be like the squirrel getting let out of the cage kind of thing.
There you go.
Just going berserk. But they're not really. They don't seem to talk about it much. They just want to shut you down and politically ruin your life and prevent you from having a hamburger. Don't worry about the computers doing crypto there, Brian.
Yeah,
just put it in hamburger, okay?
That's right.
See how crazy these people are? I mean, they're just, wow. All right, headline says this. Here's why the supply chain problems will only get worse. Now, I thought that was a good enough headline, and I read the article, but I thought Brian and I could kind of talk a little bit about why we think the supply chain is going to get worse. Any thoughts, Brian?
Well, I think the reason it's getting worse in the fact is we've relied on all these other countries to subsidize us now. Instead of doing it here, we've sold all our you know, machinery and equipment over here, like Geneva Steel. I think they came, took it apart and shipped it to China, or you stop the farmer from growing all this, or the cattleman to do that. We're going to subsidize it and bring it over from other countries. I think that's
biggest. And we're going to pay our farmers not to grow, right?
Right, right.
While we go ahead and bring in, you know, whatever, it's amazing why we get, you know, you look at your orange juice carton or whatever. It's like, hey, brought in from Brazil or whatever. And you're going, why do we need to bring oranges into Brazil? Don't they grow those things in Florida?
Yeah, that's right.
It's like, what? You know, and we do this. So I think part of the reality is this just-in-time inventory idea that I think is problematic by nature. I think the buy and sell mentality that we've engaged in for the last several decades in, quote, a first world nation is a lot of the problem. You don't need to get and spend all the time. And so we've created this need for products that's not reality, Brian. There's so much fiat, fake money out there. Everybody feels wealthy. You don't have one TV because, hey, it's good to have a TV. You've got like eight. Now, I'm not saying Brian has eight TVs. I'm just saying America has a bunch of TVs. Or, you know, we can't just have one kitchen in our house. By golly, got to have a kitchen in the basement, too. So now I don't need one microwave. I need two. And then in case one goes down, I really ought to have a backup microwave, don't you think, Brian? Because, I mean, the popcorn would just not get popped if I didn't have. See, and we just go down this get and spend mentality. And I think the just-in-time inventory matched with the over-hyper spending and getting and spending idea, you put those two together and you're asking for trouble.
Yeah, boy, no doubt about it. You hit that right on. That's exactly right.
I also think there's a worker shortage, though. Hey, man, why should I work if the government's going to steal half my money from taxes? Why should I work? We talked to a girl the other day that was a waitress, and we said, how much do you make an hour? And she said, $2.15.
Yeah.
Now, Brian, it's true, $2.15, because minimum wage doesn't apply to the restaurant business. They worked their way out of that one and said, hey, tips will make it up for her. Well, I'll tell you the rest of the story in seconds. Brian Rust with me, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about honest money on your radio. RustCoinAndGift.com. You got a friend in the coin business. Quick pause. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Amen to that. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips always, ladies and gentlemen. You say amen to that. What are you talking about? I'm talking about Brian Rust doing a great job, ladies and gentlemen, telling us really the things that we need to know about America. We're talking about here's why the U.S. supply chain seems to be melting down, and I say just-in-time inventory coupled with this crazy idea of the economy in America, too. You know what? Kids are supposed to have what their parents worked 40 years to get the second they, like, wake up, you know? Second they get old enough to get a driver's license, they're like, hey, man, I got to have a nice $70,000 car. You mean I don't have a house? What the crap is going on around here? You know, this entitlement mentality combined with just-in-time inventory combined with a get-and-spend craze going on, and economically speaking, most generations saved for things, bought things very frugally as they worked to get out of debt. We want it all, and we want it all now. Forget getting out of debt, for heck's sakes. Why should I get out of debt when the federal government's in debt to the eyeballs? Okay, all these things are combined. Why the U.S. supply chain problems will only get worse. It'll only get worse, too, because you have, quote, international laws. You're dealing with communists. You're dealing with terrorists. You're dealing with international trade, where disruptions occur, etc. Pirates on the sea, weather catastrophes as we turn against God. You put all these things together, and hey, the supply chain problems, they've been in trouble for a long time. They've been on the brink of difficulty from 66 things from Sunday. All it takes is one or two to start creating the slide, the problem. Hey, you know, just in time doesn't work when it's not in time, right? Workers don't work when they don't make hardly any money. So this girl made $2.15 an hour because restaurants don't have to follow minimum wage. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not for minimum wage in the first place. But she said tips will make up the difference. Well, it turns out that she was the only waitress in the whole restaurant, Brian. And we said, what the heck's up with that? And she said, nobody else will work. We can't get anybody else to work. And we said, why? And she said, because it's just too intense. You know, people are rude and it's just, you're running every second. There's just not enough money in it to make sense for people. They can't pay their bills. I said, well, what are you doing? She said, I'm just trying to make people happy so that I can get tips. The everything shortage, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be the beginning of the end. I think that these shortages are going to make things worse. One's going to lead to the next, going to lead to the next. Pretty soon, that restaurant where this dear girl works is going to be shut down because they're going to be like, hey, we can't run it with hardly anybody. I've even went to restaurants and their doors are closed and I knock on the window because somebody's inside and they open the door and I say, what's going on? They say, well, we can't open because we just don't have the employees. Some are only doing drive-thrus for the same reason. Well, this everything shortage being the beginning and the end, beginning of the end, one thing's going to lead to another, Brian. Every one of these pieces, the economy is not just a singular reality. It's a supply and demand reality based on an ecosystem, Brian.
Yeah, boy, you hit that right. I mean, and eventually, I mean, that waitress, I mean, she's going to get burned out. She can't do it all. And so she's running.
Yeah, poor girl.
And you can't, everybody isn't going to be happy. I mean, that's just, I guess, the norm is not everybody is on the same page. But it's, yeah, the infrastructure in our society is, it's been an ongoing thing. And little by little, we just see this. And it's kind of like, you know, I kind of think of Satan's plan. Little by little, I'm just going to lead you down to hell. You're not going to see it at first. You're not going to be seeing it in here and so on. And before you know it, yeah, you're right here. We got you. You kind of thing. And that's And I don't know if the agenda from the top, which is very wicked, I would say, you know, that this agenda is really creating this major havoc. And we've, like I say, we've resourced everything out of our country. It's not back. I mean, realistically, you mentioned the fact of, okay, when he gets 16, he wants a vehicle. Well, guy, the vehicles of old, you know, they were built in America, and we could get parts, and we probably could still get parts for those old vehicles. We don't need chips, and we could probably go down and get that rusted out 65 Mustang or whatever that it's, you know, or those vehicles, and maybe get them back on track and get them back rolling. But I'm just saying, we were frugal. We built it here. We were able to maintain it here, and now we're relying on the rest of the world to take care of us, who don't like us anyway. And now, because we've created, you know, whether we're over there interfering and creating war and all these other things, and it's just a domino effect to where we are right now. And we look and we shake our heads and say, what's going on? Why? Well, and yet the agenda on the left, I don't even know what they're doing. Our president, I don't even know what he does anymore. He kind of comes up there and looks at the paper and asks three questions to the right people that are going to ask his questions. And it's just chaotic all the way around. And we wonder, well, how'd we get to this point? Yeah, funny, but it's sad, but it's where we're at.
It's funny. It's sad. It's scary. It's concerning. I submit to you, Brian, it's all of the above. And, right. You know, I would submit to you that you can't solve it on a global scale yourself, or even on a United States scale yourself. We have created a crisis. Why did we put all the raw materials over in Asia? By nature of putting all of our businesses there over the last several decades, we've literally pushed all raw materials there, sourcing, if you will, to make product. Now, you know what? We couldn't bring it home in 5 years if we tried. It's just too complex. It's too big.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying it can't over time morph, but it can't happen on a dime. It can't happen quickly. Why have we put all of our eggs in that basket? That, to me, is not only a concern from an economic point of view, but it's a national security crisis as well, Brian.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. Crazy. And, you know, the thing is we, you know, a lot of the resourcing went overseas and so on because it was cheaper. Okay, well, we can do this cheaper. Well, perhaps, yeah, you can do it cheaper because maybe it's child labor, or maybe we turn a blind eye to maybe really what's going over there. We're figuring, okay, we want $15 an hour wage over here, and they're going to pay their people what, a dollar a day. I don't know, but we turn a blind eye. But it's cheaper. It's going to help build my company because I can send it over there. I can get it cheaper. It's like Shark Tank. You get on Shark Tank, Mr. Wonderful on Shark Tank. It's everything about getting it over to China. Well, right now, if we look at, okay, should we have done all that, or should we have tried to build it within our own country and strengthen those companies? It's kind of like this Exxon Oil. Biden jumps right in and fires all those people. We're not going to have you guys do it. We're going to resource it over here we're going to give a pass to Russia, Putin, and let him bring in the oil. Okay, well, look at where it's put us. It's just really put us in a hard spot, and it's really sad that it's gotten to this point. And then you've got like defund the police and do this, and it's just a ripple effect that's happening in our country. And we're thinking, it's just crazy all the things that are going on. I mean, it's just chaotic all the way around.
My daughter, after she saw the pretty gold, she said, Dad, do you think I ought to get some gold? And I said, well, it takes money to get gold. It takes that fake money to get real money sometimes. And she said, yeah, good point. And I said, you know, do I think you ought to get gold and that's the only thing you ought to have? No. Do I think you ought to get a little bit of gold, get a little bit of silver, get a little bit of food storage, get a little bit of medical supplies, get a little bit of beans, Band-Aids, and bullets, if you will? Yeah. Do I think you ought to increase your portfolio? Yeah. Do I think a 401k is good? In part. I think that all these options, the more broad and the more diverse our portfolio is, I think the better off we are. And gold and silver is a great investment, but you got to understand the nature of the investment. If you expect it to be a Bitcoin to go from zero to 3 gazillion and back to zero in 5 minutes, no. But if you expect gold and silver to be a hedge and a stability reality in your portfolio, the answer is yes. Do I think you got to panic and get all your gold at once or silver at once? No. I think you got to create a steady day in and day out monthly growth plan where you slowly but surely get a little bit and a little bit and a little bit. And pretty soon you look at it and go, I got quite a bit there, Brian. That's my recommendation for all of us. And so that's what I told my daughter.
Yeah, you're right on. And that's kind of the, you know, God's plan was house of order. And I think that's that same house of order, just like you said. I mean, peace of mind is house of order. I mean, if we have a little bit of this put away and a little of that put away and food storage and our necessities and all these things, a little bit of put away, that's peace of mind. Because as it unravels, as our society unravels and so on, we're not running down to Costco. We're not running here to the store every day. We're not, you know, we're peace of mind and says, hey, we prepared for that rainy day because we knew that at some point our leaders are, you know, for me, our church leaders and others that have been preaching this for a long time saying, hey, there's going to be some trials and tribulations coming forward and we need to prepare. And so that peace of mind is basically just as you said, a little bit here, put a little bit away, and it adds up. And then you're in that peace of mind mode that you don't, you can help your neighbor basically, right? We can bless God's children and, ourselves because we've
wait a minute, Brian, help your neighbor. I thought you were just supposed to rat on your neighbor.
Well, that's what they want, right?
Just sell your neighbor out. Believe it or not, right. That's what Joe Biden's talking about right now, ladies and gentlemen. Believe it or not, headline talks about this. It said the Biden administration will most likely rely on informants to enforce its COVID-19 vaccination mandate. Regarding employers, experts say the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, or OSHA, of course, is tasked with putting forward the rules, but they're going to require workers to snitch on one another to make the project work, Brian.
Yeah, that is unbelievable. That's just what you would, that's just what I expect from that, that agenda from that group, you know, the high and mighty presidential group that we have right now. That's just what I would expect. Yeah, rat out your neighbor. That's Satan's plan. Well, that's kind of.
Yes, sir.
So pretty evil there.
Yes, and it is. I think that's something we really need to double down on making sure people understand. Ladies and gentlemen, turning your government against your neighbor is Satan's plan. Doing all you can to protect and help and support and love your neighbor is the answer. Now, I know they'd say, well, I just want you to get the corona vaccine to protect and love you. I don't know that a man-made trust in the arm of flesh jab is the act of love necessarily. But I look at this, Brian, and I say, we need to think about how we treat one another, though, because I think that's a great gauge of society, of how we act towards those around us.
Amen. I agree as well. Respect for each other and the ability to communicate and have patience with each other and love and yeah, there's no doubt about it. It's like your immediate family. You don't you know, there's some bickering going on, but we can sit down, we can talk about it. There's love here. We don't want to, you know, and we create that atmosphere and we respect each other and we hug and talk it out. I mean, it's, we're not going to rat on you. Hey, Billy did this and he stole. I mean, once you start doing that and we start alienating ourselves, and so it becomes a much tougher thing. But
ladies and gentlemen, we want to build relationships of trust, not enemies of fear. And when you start ratting on your neighbors, what you get is this fear mentality of what's going to happen to me bad next from the guy that's over there that's my enemy. We need to have love and relationships of trust and be neighborly and kind and do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That would be our advice, along with getting some constitutional currency. We'd recommend that as well.
Right.
RussQuentinGift.com. Thank you so much, Brian. God bless you, sir.
Hey, thanks, Sam. Great show.
The Honest Money Report, always on your radio every Thursday. Spread the word. RussQuentinGift.com. You got a coin in the friend business. You also got a friend in the coin business. All right. Hour one of the can. Hour two coming up, God Save the Republic.